More anxious than ever to avoid Matilda now that she was undoubtedly in a vindictive mood, I'd gotten out of the cab half a block away and approached Magna's shop with stealth. I paused casually in front of the window to make sure there was no one I recognized in the shop, and I shrank away from the window. Good God, Lopez! Inside the magic store! The very last person I expected to bump into! What was he doing here? Realizing that I wasn't doing a good job of looking casual, I stepped closer to the window and pretended to browse as I spied on the detective. He was talking to Magnus, and neither of them noticed me. Lopez was taking notes. Magnus was nodding and gesturing. I needed more information. Why was Lopez back on the case, or still on the case? The last time we met, I thought he had dismissed it altogether unless further evidence came to light.
Further evidence?
Is that why he was here now? Did he know something new? Something we didn't? I had to find out. Counting on my costume and a little acting to protect my identity, I entered the store. Both men looked at me. Magnus' eyes lingered with interest. Lopez dismissed me with a glance and returned to questioning Magnus.
I'll be with you in a few minutes, miss.
Take your time.
So anyway, Mrs. Hurley reported the destruction of the cage to me. Now, what I was just wondering is, have you had any other problems with disappearing cages? I mean, cages that people are supposed to disappear from?
Well, I did do a similar repair job about a year ago.
Could you give me the customer's name and address?
Yes, it's in the office, but it would take me a while to find it.
It's important.
Okay, but I need to help this customer first.
I'll wait.
I couldn't talk to Magnus about stalling Matilda with Lopez standing right there, so I gestured to the vulgar costumes on the clothing racks.
Oh, I just love these clothes. Would it be okay if I tried on a few things?
Oh, it would be my pleasure to indulge you.
It apparently didn't occur to Magnus to wonder why I was wearing my sunglasses indoors, but I suspected Lopez was starting to wonder. He wasn't ogling me the way Magnus was, but he was paying attention to me now. And something bothered him. Maybe it was my sunglasses, or maybe it was unconscious recognition of something familiar. He'd seen me in costume twice before now, so there might be things about me ringing a bell even in this disguise. I turned my back and started choosing outfits.
Where's the dressing room?
Back there. Take your time, love. I'll be only too happy to give you my full attention as soon as my business with this gentleman is finished.
Thanks.
I gave my full attention to a lime green lace and sequined confection, hoping they'd both ignore me now.
Detective?
I sensed that Lopez was still looking at me.
Right this way, detective.
Oh, okay.
I looked over my shoulder and saw with relief that I was alone. I wondered if I should just leave now, before Lopez came back out of that room and got another look at me. Then I thought of the crystal cage. It was probably upstairs, right where I'd seen it last time. I could go and have a look and see if Magnus had done any work on it yet, see exactly how damaged it was, and then I could hover up there out of sight until I was sure Lopez had gone. I checked my watch. It was closing time for Magnus, so no one named Matilda, for example, was likely to come into the shop and disturb my conversation with the red-haired magic maven once Lopez left. I put a slinky, hot pink gown back on the rack and, moving on tiptoe, crossed the shop and went upstairs in search of the crystal cage. At the top of the stairs, I took off my sunglasses so I could see. I took off my raincoat so I wouldn't be hot and removed my boots so Magnus and Lopez wouldn't hear my footsteps over their heads. The second floor of the building was just as chaotic as I remembered, a maze of jumbled cartons, boxes, crates, and equipment. It was dark due to covered windows, and very dusty due to Magnus' lack of a cleaning service. The crystal cage was not where I had expected to find it, nor did it seem to be anywhere on the second floor, which took me some time to search in silence. This was turning into more of a quest than I had anticipated, and I was getting exasperated, but since I hadn't heard Lopez leave the shop, I couldn't go back downstairs. So I decided to try the third floor, figuring I might as well use my time productively instead of just squatting at the top of the stairs cursing Lopez. I found a yank cord, turned on the light over the stairwell, and stealthily climbed up the stairs to the third floor in my stocking feet. At the top of the stairs, there was a big rack of sequin and lace outfits in colors so bright they made me blink. I rounded the rack and walked straight into a small Asian woman with a huge snake wrapped around her.
Ah! Ah!
The snake moved its head and I realized it was real. I'm a little scared of snakes and I was very startled, so I stumbled backward to get away from it and staggered right into the rack of clothing, knocking it over. I fell on top of it. That's when I noticed there were two more people in there. I was lying on my back atop falling garments, my arms and legs flailing. The snake-wrapped lady leaned over and extended a hand to help me, but the sight of the snake's face approaching mine scared me even more. Then the other two people started tugging on the woman's arms, trying to haul her away from me. After a moment's hesitation, she went with them.
What's going on up there?
A moment later, two stunned men were looking down at my prone, flailing body with identical expressions of astonishment. Magnus stood there holding a spear, gaping at me in stupefaction. His red-bearded jaw worked a few times, but no words came out. Then he looked around quickly as if searching for the other people, but he still said nothing. Lopez holstered his gun and squatted down beside me to remove my blonde wig.
Hello, Esther. I assume there's a perfectly reasonable explanation for all this.